This is the Complete Stories Podcast. In this episode, Mitchell Barrett plays homage to the pulp classics.
The following stories are works of fiction. Unless otherwise indicated, all the names, characters, businesses, places, events, and incidents in this episode are either the product of the author's imagination or used in a fictitious manner. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events is purely coincidental. All rights reserved. No portion of this podcast may be reproduced in any form without permission from the authors with whom the copyright remains. For permissions, contact thecompletestories@gmail.com or visit thecompletestories.com.
The Clinch Fighter by Mitchell Barrett. Hub knew he had been in this stall before, as he remembered the cartoon of the enlarged genitals drawn on the wall. He hadn't done it. He had enough decency to know that although it was in a pub, there might come a time when an employee's child might need to use the toilet. Say in the daytime when the sun first hit this dodgy establishment that catered to the lowlives on the better side of this forgotten side of town. He had admired the craftsmanship, and with his job, he couldn't be so judgmental as to piss on a well-drawn phallus on a lavatory wall. One man's obscene graffiti was another man's Balthus. He heard Zap leaving. He rose off the toilet and quietly crept out of the lavatory stall to wash his hands. Although he hadn't gone to the lavatory, he was still in there with the filth. Somewhere between the screech of the stall door and its hinges, along his sojourn to the dirty sink, and the thought of whether it would be more sanitary to just leave now, he was knocked down by an explosively painful conk to the side of his head. In the spinning world that followed the hit, he could see Zap in the darkness for a few seconds, while an alarm like a car's thumped in his head. Rise and shine. Hub looked up into the quite youthful face of Zap. Aside from his having the roughly sculpted features of a bloke who has made his way as a pugilist, he was very handsome. Can't move my hands. That's because you're tied up, Zap said. And it was a relief to Hub that he could be understood when he spoke, and that his immobility was due to his being tied up, and not because he had been beaten into paralysis. Hubbard, what's that? Thought your name was Hub? Zap asked, looking at Hub's ID. Oh, Hub groaned. He wasn't a fan of stupid questions. Why'd you have me tied up, mate? You were following me. No, I wasn't. Zap was a scary-looking mongrel beyond the handsome face. He was about 6'3", with an impressive distribution of mass and tattoos. He was one of those lower-rung MMA guys, but still could hit hard enough to knock a guy out, carry his prone body, Hub would assume, through the streets with no one bothering to stop him, and tie him up like a bundle of recycling. And, right now, Zap was coming at him with anger in his face. Okay, I'll tell you. Zap pasted him anyway, in his chest this time. Luckily, the chair was a little cheap piece of processed wood that didn't weigh anything, so him falling back actually stole from the impact of the punch. Hub did hit his head, but it was better than a sternal fracture. I'll tell you, he said, taking a quick breath. Zap stood over him with his sweaty, twitchy muscles and string vest, his gorilla-like poise. He shoved his steel-toed boot between the chair and Hub's back. He looked down on him from above his scruffy beard. Tell it. Hub looked beyond the dirty ruddy hair to the lone ceiling light above Zap's head, and stared until it became the sun outside. He breathed in deep through his nose so he could smell that morning's coffee still in the hairs of his mustache. Hub had been an art school student, in the cold come-down of the 80s, right as the 90s were about to take their foothold and turn everyone into sober. Zap gave him a sharp kick in the ribs. Not that far back. Right. Maybe the punch to the head made me lose my storytelling focus. Want to see if I can fix it with another? Zap said, balling up his rock-hard fist so the knuckles were shadowed stones with the backlight of the ceiling fan's incandescent rays behind them. No. Not necessary. Where was I? Somewhere in that time of wonder, Hub took a class in silent films, introducing him to the works of Stroheim and Demille. But also at that time, he was introduced to an ideal of woman that became the very definition of what a woman should be. Feminine, plucky, and classy. But these days were immodest ones and women were complicated. Hub's silent ingenues were well-crafted squares. The modern woman of the last two decades of Hub's dating life were puzzled cubes he'd never been able to sort out. I don't know where this is going, Zap growled with a smile above him. So you know already. Sometimes, life hands the pitiful ones a moment of relief. Hub was in a campy cafeteria. He was surprised to see that there was a woman. A well-crafted puzzle cube of a woman who looked like Vilma Banky. Pouty mouth, bright unknowable eyes sitting at the table beside his. She ordered coffee and a slice of chocolate chiffon pie, all the while looking out from behind her cat-eye sunglasses at some commotion on the street. "What's going on out there?" Hub asked her, knowing her response to him would determine whether he went on with it. She turned partly toward Hub to tell him some local politician was slinging yogurt on the street. "Lot worse he could sling," Hub said.
"Just give him a chance, mister."
"Hub."
"Excuse me?"
"Hub. They call me Hub," he said, crossing the distance with an extended palm. She took it with a soft grace and rubbed Hub's knuckle with the pad of her thumb.
"That's short for Hubert."
"Wow. No one ever gets that without me telling." For Hub, the beginning of the relationship was the only part. With Madison, the only difference was he was more daft than all the beginnings of his life. People who claim to put little value on the looks of their loves are kidding themselves. When someone looks as much like your dream girl as Madison did, you feel a love that's large and intense. He moved to watch her from his bed as she moved about the apartment. Black lace hip huggers that hugged more than her hips, making her butt look like an ever-smiling and happy friend. Hub always wanted to play. Zap thumbed a spot on his head and made Hub feel an intensely nostalgic pain. It's where he had been hit before. Hub was guessing there was an injury there. Probably a knot, since he could feel the tightness around his head as he moved his eyebrows. "I didn't know about you, at first," Hub sighed. "Of course not," Zap said, chewing his inner lip. He was growing more frightening by the second. Hub closed his eyes. Madison wasn't melting with him. Sure, Hub had never had a lasting relationship. He was closing in on 42 without a wife or any semblance of an adult life aside from his job, but he knew what it felt like when a woman melted with you. Madison was evasive, aloof. He could have her body on some silken city nights, but not her heart. He started to follow her. The first time, she had put on her clothes while Hub watched from his kitchen table. She blew him a dreamy kiss and left, closing his apartment door with a delicateness that told Hub the door hadn't actually caught. A breeze would have blown it back open. So Hub put on his trainers and listened for the outside door to open. Then he ran out and slammed his door closed, taking the step so fast he stumbled several times. Out on the street, he could see her in the distance. She had a rhythm about the way she walked, like she was grooving to some Serge Gainsbourg tune, walking through Bondi, Paris. He followed her on the train, a car behind her, watching from behind a free newspaper as she dabbed at her makeup, checked her phone, and accommodated pushy passengers that crammed in and out of the seats beside her. When she got off the train, he did as well, and luckily she walked away from the car Hub was on. Out on the street, she went to a little building that looked an absurd leftover from a time when the city was all murky and dodgy. He stood at a farm stand across the street and watched her. And then there he was. Hub didn't know what he'd find when he decided to follow her. When someone crosses a line into light stalking, they've already broken with the agreed-upon reality and ventured into something a little darker. Yet they can hold hope, Hub discovered, that there'd be something better, less dark, a secret of pure light. Like Madison was going to a puppy mill to play with the hopeful infant Dachshunds. But instead, there was a big, hard, wrought guy in an army jacket and sweats with his arms around Madison. It should have been a small loss, but it wasn't. Hub was gutted. Something about the hopes one is able to conjure in middle age make them more powerful than the dreams of the college co-ed when they are dashed. "So why didn't you stop there? You knew she was my girl." "I tried, you must understand." He had ignored her calls for days, tried to fit himself back into his old life. But a life that has held a woman never fits the same after she is gone. Though she might be slight, she creates a crevice about 100 times her size. He became fixated on Zap. That's how he learned his name. Watching him fight at an Eastside MMA tournament. Watching him grapple with an equally simian-like hard man. He imagined his not-so-gentle grappling with Madison in the bedroom. No, Zap wouldn't be a bedroom guy. He'd take it wherever he wanted. He wouldn't be gentle and loving like Hub. He was an animal. He closed his eyes and he was still there. A nightmare that just wouldn't go. "So you knew she was playing you. Why then did you keep on with my girl?" "But she's not. You keep saying that, but she's not your girl." "Then she's yours. Are you going to take her? Is that what you think?" Zap snarled. "No. I mean, there's others. At least one I know about." He felt Zap grow quietly tight and feared he'd hit him. You didn't know? No. Suppose you tell. Zap said, cracking the knuckles of his right hand. Hub had seen her only a handful of times after that, and she'd been very keen to how he was now the withdrawn one. He tried to hide it, but he couldn't. When they'd snog in the bedroom, swimming in their naked lust on his bed, he felt her body something used or borrowed. Still, he couldn't give her up. So he always wanted to start. And when they started, he just wanted over. For her to leave so he could follow her. On a rain-soaked day, he followed her around the whole day. She went to a lingerie store. Hub hid across in a game store, flicking through the discs while watching the store across the street. When she came out, he followed her downtown to an elegant hotel. He watched the elevator ding all the way up to the fifth floor and caught the next one up. When he got there, he saw a man in the type of black suit favoured by private security firms. The man, arms at his side, prepared for whatever, gave him a sharp look. Is this the sixth floor? No. The guy spoke in an even, unexcited tone. You got off too early. Hub went back down to the lobby and nursed a Guinness until she got off the elevator. He could see her in the corner of his eye and was going over excuses he would have to give if she saw him there. But she just bounded out the glass door. He didn't follow, but waited until the security guy came out of the elevator with a large black umbrella and a man with smooth silver hair on his temples and the stature of an ex-football player. He looked familiar, really familiar. Hub could see the barmaid watching him from beneath her sharply threaded brows. Who is that guy? He's that assembly man, From. Hub realized then. From was the same politician Madison had been watching through the pane glass window of the diner that day they met. Zap craned his neck as a key was put in the front door. Hub moved his head to the side to try and see who was coming in. Whoever it was had a key, and Zap was comfortable enough in his posture that the person wouldn't be unwound by finding him hovering over Hub tied to a chair. The door closed, and before she spoke, before he could see her, Hub smelled her perfume, surrounding his head with its floral elegance.
What did he say?
He's been telling me all about you screwing that From guy. Hub wanted to be more upset, but she didn't seem to care that he was on the floor, or that he was tied to a chair. From the way she spoke her first words, it seemed she knew he was there already. He'd been afraid of who opened the door before. Now he was just gobbed that she wasn't pleading for his safe release, declaring her love for him. He felt more in danger than he had before. She came into his vision now, putting her soft body on Zap's back and caressing his dense pecs.
There was none of that, baby.
She said to Zap while eyeing Hub on the floor with a look that said, keep quiet. I'm supposed to buy that with your other boyfriend here playing Basil of Baker Street and follow me around. It struck Hub as funny that Zap would come up with a grade school reference. He didn't dare laugh. He just felt the comedy of the lack of surprise with this cove. Hub couldn't recall why he started following Zap. It was senseless. It was Madison he wanted. His jealousy spun out of control, and Zap had been less oblivious to his stalking than Madison had been, because just as he had followed him into the lavatory of a pub, Zap had blitzkrieg bopped him. And for his dimness, he'd somehow gotten Hub to his apartment, unconscious, maybe walking him down the street like Weekend at Bernie's. You're blackmailing him, Hub said. What's that? Zap growled. Not you. From. She's blackmailing From. Hub had followed her again to the hotel. Thinking it best to stay outside this time, he circled the block, smoking in fairer weather. When Madison came out, she went to a print kiosk in a chemist. I couldn't see the pictures, Maddie, but you put them in an envelope and mailed them. That I did see, and it can only mean blackmail. Zap said. Been playing me.
No, it's not like that,
she told him. No. What's it like? Then Zap grumbled.
Just like I told.
Hub watched Madison take off her jacket before she left his field of vision. He could hear the springs of Zap's mattress as Madison sat in the rustle of her skirt as she crossed her thighs. She retold her story probably more for Hub's benefit than Zap's, as he'd supposedly already heard it. She had met From when she was in college. Madison was an intern. She knew From to be an exploiter of women. She tried not to get involved with him, but he had convinced her. pursuing relentlessly, making fanciful promises. She was a naive young girl, and he'd known that. When she had tried to end it, Fromm told her he had video of her performing fellatio on him. He was always threatening to post it online if she didn't meet him again for more extracurricular play.
I had no choice,
Madison said, coming back into Hub's field of vision and embracing Zap, whose posture remained taut, though Hub could tell he wanted to melt into her just like Hub always did. She was a powerfully made woman. The obvious question to Hub was, why him? Where did he fit in this whole thing? Sure, his uncat-like curiosity was what landed him on the floor with his fate, but Madison had a trust with him as well. He wasn't blackmailing her. What about him? Zap asked, nodding to Hub.
He's in on it. He's with Fromm.
Now Hub started to panic. He hadn't expected that she'd line him up to save her own well-travelled ass. Zap, she's gaming you. That's not true. Hub pleaded from the floor.
No,
Madison said.
What do you do for a living?
Hub froze. What? What does he do? Zap demanded.
He makes pornography.
No, I'm a videographer.
Of pornography,
Madison insisted. Hub fell on that slippery slope. He'd gone into video art. His fascination with women led him to some avant-garde erotica. But it had all been tasteful and tasty stuff for the artistic set. It was too good for pornography. But Madison was right. Lately, he'd been taking bluer editing jobs to supplement his income. When she had said that Fromm had a video of her, how did he not see it coming that she was going to turn it on him? What now? Zap asked with a battered resignation in his voice. Hub could tell she had been manipulating Zap for some time. He'd probably happily resigned thinking to her so he didn't have to do it himself.
Now, we have to kill him,
Madison said. Zap balled up his fists. Hub felt his bowels loosening with fear.
Get a knife. It'll be quieter.
I won't tell a thing, Hub began pleading.
Shove a sock in his mouth,
she said. Hub clenched his teeth tight while Zap tried to jam a dingy athletic sock into his mouth. For resisting, he got a punch to the gut that felt like it would do the job for them. In his gasping, Hub had opened his mouth wide enough for Zap to pry his jaw apart and shove a dingy sock in.
Get a knife,
Madison said. Hub tried to scream, looking at the fiery and excited look in Madison's eyes. Zap came back, and Madison was all business.
Give me the knife. Hold him down.
Zap did what he was told, and Hub could tell he meant to conclude this business. He was a predator, an animal. All he knew how to do was destroy. Zap holding him down, Hub watched Madison slip behind Zap and slit his throat until blood poured out all over Hub, and a surprised and dying Zap held his neck, falling on the floor in a rage for his last bit of life. When he had bled out enough to lose consciousness and was slumped on the floor dead, or well on his way, Madison sighed.
What did you think you were doing?
She asked Hub, taking the sock from his mouth. I don't know. When? Hub asked as his thoughts spun around his head.
Following Zap. I know what you wanted. But you could have ruined everything. He could have hurt you.
She cut Hub free of his restraints. Why'd you kill him?
He's no longer necessary.
What do you mean?
Fromm paid up. I just needed Zap to get him out of the way before he sent his people after me.
You mean Fromm's dead?
Maybe. You'll see it in the paper tomorrow.
Zap?
Yeah. I had Zap catch him alone on his morning jog and beat him. Zap left him in the woods of the park. I don't know if he bought it or not.
Even then, speaking her evil, Hub couldn't help but feel her beauty. And me?
You?
Madison said, standing on the tips of her toes to kiss Hub on the lips.
You were my favourite.
Hub, still being alive, seemed to verify that. He kissed her back. What now? He felt as dumb as Zap.
Now, you clean yourself up, get a change of clothes, and leave here quietly,
Madison said. She grabbed his hand and led him to the wardrobe, where she gave him a grey sweatshirt and a pair of jeans.
Quick, go in the loo, do a quick change.
Hub did, wondering what this meant. She was beautiful, but trouble. To go with her now would mean signing on for trouble and to be consistently keeping an eye peeled for new guys or worse. He came out of the toilet with the bloody clothes in hand. Is there a rubbish bag? But the room was empty. Of course it was. Madison was a mission-orientated woman. This one was done. Hub bagged his clothes and left without running, keeping his head down like he imagined Madison would have.